Welcome to episode 1148 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Thursday, September 22nd. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or just paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. On tonight's show, we're going to be talking about Yahoo getting hacked, Tesla's solar announcement, Reddit being subpoenaed, and of course, the EpiPen hearing at Congress. I want to give a warm welcome to new listeners of the show, those of you that have been listening for a very long time. That's, of course, those of you that are part of our Ohana. Thanks for being here. If you're brand new to the show, we want to make sure you visit geeknewscentral.com to subscribe to the show and newsletter. And if you visit the website, make sure you check out all of our great content being put together by our great content writers over there. If you have comments on today's show, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. or follow on Twitter at Geek News. Become part of our Slack discussion channel by emailing me and asking to be added to the Slack channel. You can always follow on Google+, on Facebook, really I'm everywhere social media is. You can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel or on the Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this podcast's name. Of course, you can listen on Stitcher or watch or listen on Blueberry.com. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site written by our GNC writing team as well. So definitely check out all of our websites, including the Podcast Legends show at podcastlegends.com. Longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast, of course, is the sponsor of this show, GoDaddy.com. Definitely get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and check out all of our great deals. We've got 99cent.coms, 30% off on new product orders. We got 30-day website builder with mentoring from GoDaddy. We've got normal hosting accounts and managed web WordPress sites, all for $1 a month for the first 12 months. Use the promo code you find at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. So, yeah, it's been a crazy few days here, and want to get through the show tonight. I don't have a lot to report, except that Shoko got home on time with my daughter from Japan this morning. So I checked in with them about an hour after they landed, and then my son got them picked up on time. And from everything I can tell, it looks like the house didn't get destroyed by the boys while we were both out. So that was good news. But in all honesty, it's been a crazy week here. Just moving around, lots of different meetings, just busy. And glad to get to be able to get the show out for you tonight. Not going to go into a lot of details about other stuff going on, but fly home Saturday. Most of you listen to this show on Friday, so there'll be no new media show. So be glad to get back to Honolulu and see how things are going. And get ready for my next round of travel, which is really, be honest with you, about 10 days away. So anyway, let's get into the regular show content. Thanks for being here. Definitely appreciate it. And I got a lot of feedback from the last show, so definitely appreciate that as well. We're going to start off the show tonight talking about this Yahoo hack that actually apparently went down in 2014. And for some reason, Yahoo has taken at least 2 years here to even mention it, to announce it. And the severity of the hack was something incredible. 500 million user accounts have been hacked. This is just amazing. This is the world's biggest hack. This is a world record. Not good on Yahoo's part. But, until today, the previous largest known hack was the 2008 breach that hit almost 360 million MySpace accounts. But this is huge. with 500 million accounts. And they basically said they got everything. Users' names, hashed passwords, phone numbers. You just go on and on and on. And the list is extensive of what they were able to get. But even more surprising, Verizon, the suitor of Yahoo, found out just two days ago about this. And, you know, why? What did they disclose it because of the purchase? You know, excuse me, Verizon is finalizing its $4.8 billion purchase of Yahoo. And with only having been notified 2 days ago, you know, they just have to, can you imagine? I just can't, I'm surprised that they waited this long. So why hasn't Yahoo reported this? If this hack went down in 2014, why haven't they told the public before now? There's some big questions that has to be answered here by Yahoo. You know, it's, you know, the public's just learning today. No forced password resets or anything. So I am sure that there is going to be some questions asked on this. You know, 2 weeks, that's, you know, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, maybe we can all accept with accept that type of a delay. But 2 years, you know, shame on Yahoo. And if you're using Yahoo Mail, it should disturb you a little bit to think that your personal information has been out there in the wild for 2 years. And, you know, I've got a Yahoo email account, haven't used it for years. Use it once in a while to get on like a Yahoo message board. But that's the extent of it. So I wonder if they're going to actually inform customers that their account was hacked 2 years late. It's a little disingenuous if you ask me, to be for sure. MI6 in the UK is set to recruit 1,000 extra staff members. So if you want to become involved in the UK Secret Intelligence Services, well, it looks like they're going to be starting hiring some people. It's going to boost from 2,500 to a little over 3,500 over the next 4 years. So they're going to be hiring. So if you're looking for a job, I'm sure in the UK you're going to start seeing job postings and recruiting that's going on. And you can become a part of the UK's Secret Intelligence Service, MI6. That's got to be pretty cool. Work for that organization, and, you know, people ask you, who do you work for? Well, I really can't say, but if truth be known, MI6. You know, you don't hear people that work at those organizations bragging. You know, you don't hear someone that works at other government agency like the CIA or NSA. They never, you know, where do you from? You know, I work for the government. You know, they don't ever come out and really say, I work for the NSA. You know, it may be known amongst a close circle of friends, but people who are in those jobs are usually pretty quiet about it. So secretly, we may have some people working for some other government agencies that listen to this show, and I hope we have a few MI6 listeners as well. but anyway, kind of fun. Okay, Airbnb has raised $850 million at a $30 billion valuation. So this is huge. Alphabet Incorporated's growth equity arm is becoming an investor, part of the expected $850 million round. In addition to new cash, employees have been with the company for more than 4 years. They have the opportunity to sell some common shares to investors as part of the deal. Roughly $200 million of employee stock was sold as part of that fundraising. Investors bought the employee stock at a discount, last year's $93.09 a share price, because the common stock doesn't grant investors protections like preferred stock does, the people said. So anyway, that's pretty cool. Got a little bit of cash. Some people got some cash, and Airbnb raised some money. So very, 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 very cool. I read something today I was a little bit surprised about over on Ars Technica. It talks about DNA collection. In Kuwait has imposed the world's first DNA collection law. attorneys in are equating lawyers trying to fight this through a formal constitutional challenge. But this mandatory DNA law, which is reportedly set to take effect on November 16th, mandates DNA collection from all citizens and resident foreigners, a total of about 3.5 million people, plus all visitors to the tiny Gulf state. The law was quickly passed by the Kuwaiti parliament after a July 2015 terrorist attack in the capital, which left nearly 30 people dead by having a large database of everyone's DNA. Presumably, it would be easier to identify victims of terrorism or even criminal suspects. But it's kind of, you know, you're going to be going to Kuwait on business. You arrive at the country, and at immigration, they tell you open your mouth while they swab the inside of your mouth for a DNA sample. To me, that's a little unnerving that you would have to give a DNA sample. To enter the country as a visitor. So again, the law mandates DNA collection from all citizens and resident foreigners, plus all visitors to the tiny Gulf state. A lot of military people rotate in and out of Kuwait, so I wonder if the military folks that go in are going to have to give up a DNA sample as well. But one thing's for sure, if they do this and they accomplish, you know, and I'm sure the people that they'll have a hard time collecting DNA samples from are probably going to be the criminals, because how are they going to prove it? They're going to have to probably do some sort of a fingerprint collection or something. You know, otherwise, how do they prove someone is actually given a sample? Very interesting, but lawyers fighting it. But if you refuse collection, you could be subject to imprisonment or a fine of about $33,000, according to the Kuwaiti Times. So I bet you that's going to be good for tourism, don't you think? The website that leaked Colin Powell's email dumps have also reportedly posted Michelle Obama's passport online, along with emails from a White House staffer. So, in my opinion, going a little too far. If you, as a website, you become, putting someone's passport online, pretty serious business. The First Lady's, obviously people know when her birthday is and all that stuff, but at the same time, and I'm sure she's not going to have a hard time getting a replacement passport. But, the emails are one thing. I just don't get it sometimes. Some of these sites, they really go to the extreme in posting stuff. But anyway, again, reportedly, the First Lady's passport has been leaked along with a number of emails from a staffer. Apparently, the lady's emails that were released were not as salacious as Colin Powell's were, mostly about information about, coordinating visits and that kind of stuff. So anyway, we'll see what develops from this. I'm sure the Secret Service will be checking into it. All right, Tesla's going to be unveiling a solar roof to power your house next month. This is not today, but I'm excited about this because ever since Tesla announced its merger with SolarCity, they've really been kind of looking for this crossover product. So Tesla's planning to unveil a solar roof with an integrated battery system and a Tesla charger on October 28th, marking the first time Tesla will move into the electricity generation game. So, I already got solar on my roof, but if I can find a way to, because I can't expand my solar roof any further, I really don't need to unless I put AC in my house because I'm making excess energy now. But just for the simple fact that it would be potential to put a battery in to be able to go completely off the grid is really exciting. So very, very cool. I hope they will allow us to, have pre-existing systems to be able to utilize the, and I know that Tesla's selling a battery already, but let's see if this makes it a little different offering or a little bigger battery. Hey, Facebook has activated the safety check in Charlotte. So as the protests have grown there over the shooting of a African-American man this past, and a few days ago, Facebook is letting users check in as safe with everything that's been going on. So if you've been in the mix and protesting in Charlotte, you can check in on Facebook to let your friends and family members know that you're safe. Moving into more political news, the aide who set up Secretary Clinton's email has been held in contempt by the House committee. This was the individual who refused to testify about his involvement in setting up Hillary Clinton's private email server. So the House committee voted to hold Brian Pagalino, a former U.S. State Department employee, in contempt of Congress. Now, what does that really mean? If it is ratified, and I don't know the full process that that's going to, the committee's resolution will have to go to a floor vote, and I'm sure the floor, based on Republican control, they will definitely probably finalize this. If approved, it would be up to District of Columbia's U.S. attorney to decide whether or not to prosecute. So I'm sure this is mostly being done symbolic. We all know that there are two standards for some government employees, and I'm sure this guy's going to be included. And, if Hillary Clinton can get away with what she did, he's going to get away with what he did. So I don't expect to see any prosecution move forward with this individual. He's part of that protected class of workers. The Senate has come to its senses and does not support Ted Cruz's plan to block the internet governance transition to the IANA. So, after a lot of blustering and talking on the Senate floor, essentially the Senate Appropriations Committee released a short-term continuing resolution. In other words, they're trying to fund the government for a few months because they weren't able to get the budget passed. Actually, do you know they really haven't even done a budget in years? It's just been, more spending appropriation bills that, it's not one big package, just a little bit here, a little bit there. It's how they hide a lot of this spending now from the American people. But anyway, the language in the continuing resolution, the funding of the government continuing resolution, does not include any language on blocking the IANA transition. So again, so all the talk and hype was apparently a bunch of grandstanding and hot over nothing. And it may have been used as posturing, used to negotiate something else. We don't know. But right now, it looks like on October 1st, the transition will happen of the internet domain folks. So Congress has asked Reddit to preserve the purported post of Clinton emails. Clinton has requested of Reddit to preserve the purported post of Clinton's email admin. So the Oversight Committee is demanding Paul Combetta's alleged post. Now, apparently this this IT guy that was a system administrator at Platte River Networks involved in the operation of Secretary Hillary Clinton's private email server had asked a whole bunch of stuff about how to delete stuff, how to strip email headers, very damning stuff. Whether he was able to accomplish it or not, I don't know. But he was asking for help on Reddit. Can you believe it? So here you have an amateur who doesn't really know how to run his system because he's having to ask for help on how to delete stuff in a public forum. Apparently, he also tried to erase his post after it was shown on, basically made it outed online that he was the actual one that had done those requests for information. So it just goes on and on and on. That's another individual I think that pleaded the fifth. At least he showed up and pleaded the fifth. One of the sysadmins did answer a few questions during the hearing, but not many. The EpiPen maker CEO is, hostile Congressional House Oversight and Government Reform Committee hearing, and they just raked this lady over the coals. this CEO saw her company's profits soar as well as her own salary. Her compensation rose from $2.4 million in 2007 to $19 million in 2015, a point that she was happy to clarify after that her current salary rose around $18 million. The EpiPens, though, have been raised. The price has been raised 15 times. The EpiPens went roughly from $50 each to a current $608 for a pack of two. Millions of people, including my wife, must constantly have access to an EpiPen. They don't last forever. They do expire. So even it looks like the representatives on both sides, both parties, got in on the bashing. So again, big, huge hearing, and they went like 8 or 9 hours. So she was in the hot seat like 8 or 9 hours. Of course, there was another executive in the hot seat recently. It was Wells Fargo CEO. And of course, you know, a lot of this the hearings are just posturing, not a lot of actual things happen because of them. People get embarrassed, but it's just a way for our elected representatives to scream and yell and question and make uncomfortable people, but at the same time do very little in follow-up or change or changes to law to affect, you know, and it happens from time to time, but usually it's just you hear of a hearing, but no follow-on bill to stop some of the actions that have taken place that are not good for the American public. But they do, at least, I guess, the companies involved get embarrassed. Now, not to take advantage, ULA, United Launch, basically has alluded to SpaceX rocket explosion in a competition for a military contract. So, you know, they throw a little poop at space rival SpaceX and suggesting that ULA's vehicles are the most reliable for launching Air Force satellites. ULA is making its feeling known as expected to compete with SpaceX for a contract to launch a military GPS satellite. The proposals were due on Monday. The companies basically come out and said that, hey, we are, you know, we're the ones that can get it in the air without blowing them up. He says, as recent launch failures have shown, rockets are not commodities. They are high-risk systems, and the consequences of failure are costly and far-reaching. Our unmatched record of 111 successful launches in a row, coupled with a consistent on-schedule performance, has real and tangible value for the taxpayer. Now, you know, it's probably not good to tote and brag one safety record, because Murphy has the ability to invoke Murphy's Law on situations. So we'll have to keep an eye on the next couple of ULA launches to see if Murphy sticks his head out at all. All right, as we're wrapping down, you know, here we're already late September. Thank God, you know, we're going to be soon to the point where everyone can go vote and we can get this election behind us. Twitter is beating the national polls. Twitter beats national polls for election, and a professor is, you know, making some claims based upon analysis from 100 million tweets during the 2012 election cycle. So they say that Twitter's got a pretty good handle, or the data coming out of Twitter gives a pretty good handle on which candidate will win. And there's no predictions being made in this specific one, but it's, you know, I think this year may be different. On this trip, I've had a few run-ins with people where they've asked me who I'm going to vote for, and I'm always very cagey about talking politics, especially when it's there's any type of business involved. That just, you know, business and religion or politics and religion don't mix in business. It's you know, you leave that stuff at the door. And so one thing one person was telling me who he was voting for, and I went online, and that individual had not put anything on Facebook or anything on Twitter in regards to who he was voting for, so I found it kind of curious. So What I think we have in this election cycle is I think we have a lot of people keeping who they're going to vote for pretty quiet. Now, there's another slot of folks that are very vocal on either side, saying who they like, who they dislike, and, you know, whatever reasons. That's their prerogative. I've fortunately have not unfriended, but for a better word, silenced a lot of the people that are being, you know, super nasty about the election and saying bad things about either a candidate. So I just wonder if this year's going to hold true. I think a lot of people are keeping their mouth shut on both sides of the House. Some people are embarrassed about the stuff that Trump has said. Some people are embarrassed about some of the things that Hillary Clinton has done. So I it's going to be curious to see how things turn out with all this polling that's going on, you know, publicly, and people trying to look at trends. I don't think anybody has a clue, to be honest with you. I think there's a lot of people that are not expressing which way they're going to go, one way or the other. So we'll see how, you know, how close I am to being true here on election night, because if it ends up being a blowout on either for either candidate, it means that you know, a very silent majority spoke, and that I think that's what's going to affect. I think that's what's going to drive the election this year. Those that are being vocal are saying it vocally, but those that aren't are being very so. You know, the silent, and I don't know, maybe it's silent minority are going to probably swing this thing. So we'll see. One way or the other. Law professor Mark Lemley is basically saying Hollywood is simply wrong about the FCC set-top box plan. As you know, the MPAA, with the help of the Copyright Office, has been propping up the complete myth that the FCC's plan to create more competition in the cable set-top box space involves violating the copyright of studios. So this professor basically says, the MPAA, and this is, I'm quoting him, the MPAA argument that studios have the right to control the device on which you view your content reflects a fundamental misunderstanding of copyright law. Copyright gives its owner the right to control the making of copies and public performance of a work, but it does not give them control over any use of a work. That's no accident. Once a copyright has been paid once for a particular copy, its control over the copy ends. That's why I can lend a book to friends or sell my used recording collection outright. True, there are some things I can't do, even with a copy of a movie or song I own. I can't upload it to a file sharing site, for instance, and I can't play it on the radio because that's doing those things that that's because doing those things either makes a new copy or makes a new public performance of the work. The studio has already been paid for the movies shown on cable or satellite service. Indeed, they've been paid specifically for the right to publicly perform the work by transmitting it to my and everyone else's home. He goes on to say, and here, copyright law says something very important to copyright owners. That's all you get. Once the cable companies have paid the MPAA for the right to deliver their movie into my home, the MPAA loses control over how I choose to watch their movie in the privacy of my own home. I can record it on a DVR and watch it whenever I want. I can watch it on a big screen TV or a small one with the sound on or off in one sitting or many while fast-forwarding through parts I don't like or rewinding to rewatch parts I do. I can watch it again and again and again. Most importantly, I can watch it on any device I want, including my computer, my iPad, or my phone. He says, and while the MPA, and it goes on here in this story, and while the MPA and its supporters keep calling the FCC Pros a compulsory license, the professor points out that it's not a compulsory license that lets you record TV programs to your VCR or DVR. He says that isn't a compulsory license of copyrights. It's a limit on the scope of those rights. The limit exists even if copyright owners try to declare that it doesn't. This is the law. It has always been the law. Every effort by copyright owners to control how I watch a show in my own home has ended in failure. So, he basically says Copyright Office is lying. They're not even invoking the law correctly. At the same time, Charter Cable is fighting the FCC's attempt to uncover hidden cable modem fees. So this is about your internet cable modem. apparently, Charter does not put a fee down for the modem, thus declaring that there's no charge for it. The FCC doesn't believe that, but they want all companies to list these cable modem fees. If, you know, if they're baked in, they want them listed. Charter say, no, it's not baked in. We don't charge for the cable modem. The FCC says, bull, you do too. So they continue to argue, though, that they don't pass the cost on to the consumer. And but the FCC doesn't believe. So there's a battle going on here on who's going to win this one. Anyone knows. With the FCC's track record, they probably will lose it based on everything else that's been going on. But Charter says, nope, we give the cable modem away. It's not part of the price of the service. But what the FCC wants is say, okay, I'm going to replace, if a consumer replaces their cable modem with one that they buy, should they get a discount? And they're saying no. So that's where the battle lines have been drawn. It should be no surprise to any of you that Michigan is one step closer to putting driverless vehicles on the road. We know that Michigan is the home of Ford and Chevy, and you know it's Detroit. Even though the city is in rough shape, it was the home of major car manufacturers in the United States. And four bills addressing self-driving cars have made its way through a House committee. So I'm sure they're really trying to give the automotive industry in Michigan a leg up in order to get these cars built, tested, and in basically our driveways. So I think this is cool. It's good for Michigan. Glad that they're doing this. Hope more states will continue to do so, as well as autonomous cars continue to start to proliferate. Hey, Windows 10 Maps. Do you guys ever use Windows 10 Maps? I don't think I've ever used Maps function from Windows 10, but if you do, Windows 10 Maps will show the traffic on your route home. My recommendation is that you just load the Waze app, W-A-Z-E, Waze, and use that app. It's pretty effective. This dude, I really don't get this guy. And of course, his wife, I think, is actually the lead or the in charge of Hillary Clinton's campaign. But and I don't know why this guy's wife is I don't know why she is still with him. This blows me away. But Anthony Weiner apparently has been sending explicit pictures to a 15-year-old teen. And federal authorities have issued a subpoena for his cell phone. So, you know, maybe it's time that this guy goes spend some time in the pokey. Yes, in the prison. So, according to screenshots published by the Daily Mail, apparently that this dude has had lewd conversations with a 15-year-old. I don't fully... What is this guy? This guy just can't help himself. It's just amazing. Absolutely amazing. Gross. And this next story is a little bit concerning, too. Gonorrhea right now is entering a stage of maturity. I guess, let me just word it that way. That... it's exhibiting unusual resistance against the two main antibiotics known to work against the STD. And health officials reported in a findings today that the 2016 STD Prevention Conference in Atlanta has shown that specifically in Hawaii, 7 cases showed unusually resilient clusters of infections that... required a very high antibiotic, and basically they had to throw a lot of drugs at this to cure these individuals. So those of you that are out there having active lifestyles, please, 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 please protect yourselves. this is not good. And, you know, I have a young lady and a young man at home. And this particular article was emailed to both of them with my son responding by gross. And I said, well, better informed than gross. So anyway, to make sure you share this, folks, this is not good. Got to be, and, you know, be careful out there anyway. There's, you know, stuff that's worse that can over time kill you. So, you know, be protective. Take care of yourselves. All right, next up. You can leave your children now in a Tesla, and they won't die because it gets too hot. This is crazy. More than 30 people have died this year after being left in hot cars. It's a very serious problem. And the Toyota Prius had put together a solution before. The Prius used a solar panel on the roof to power fans that would recirculate air in the car, but that wasn't exactly sweet, cool, frosty air conditioning. Tesla has come up with something called cabin overhead protection. So basically, the system will automatically turn on the vents and air conditioning system to keep the car below 105 degrees. And with a fully charged battery, it could theoretically do that for up to a year. I find that hard to believe. But this particular system, excuse me, is being limited to a 12-hour period after the driver leaves the car. So this is a start. It's not perfect, according to Elon Musk, but it's something that they've done for Tesla. All right, any of you guys or any of you that listen to this show, are you, and I know Trucker Tom listens to the show, and we have a few other long-haul drivers that do. I'm going to link to a video that would just make you shake your head. All I can say is a delivery truck driver made his entire truck magically disappear. I'll have that link up in the show notes. It's a very entertaining 2-minute video. All I can say is, what a bunch of dumbasses. I'll just leave it at that, and the link will be up in the show notes for you to check out, okay? Also, the folks at LEGO have done something really cool. They've got a kit. They've got a drone kit. So this drone kit, though, I would probably recommend you'd want to glue. It's called Flybricks. Oh, Flybricks aren't officially affiliated with LEGO, but are completely compatible. How much does it cost? So Flybricks kits are starting today at an extra price of $149 for a basic kit and $189 for deluxe. Come with propellers and motors, custom boom arms, bricks allowing them to be attached to your own creations, a pre-programmed Arduino-compatible flight control, circuit board, and all the cables you need to power things up. So little, very cool. It's a Lego-like drone, so I'll have that link up in the show. It's a little expensive, $149, but I guess it provides the motors and everything else, so I'll have it up linked in the show notes. You can check it up. Also, police are still raiding homes of innocent people based only on their IP address. A couple who are running a Tor end node basically got their doors kicked in because an individual had used their Tor node to post some material on 4chan that was flagged as inappropriate. Turns out that they spent a few hours and had to unlock their devices, and they didn't necessarily get taken to jail, but they had a few uncomfortable hours of questioning while the police checked into everything here. But this IP address did lead back to their home, but it was because they were a Tor endpoint, and people were doing stuff on that IP that rose to the attention of the law enforcement. So if you're running a Tor endpoint, just be aware. A few of you privately emailed me and were not happy with my comment about ITT when ITT shut down. And, you know, if you got a good education at ITT that led to a better job, I'm happy for you. But a lot of people really got screwed by ITT, especially people that were in some of their advanced type degree, like trying to get a double E from ITT. And I got an article that I want you to go through and read on what happened here to a lot of folks that, you know, they went to get a double E job and ended up being having a job for like being the cable guy. So nothing to say anything wrong with the cable guy, but you don't need a double E to be the cable guy. I'm just saying that. But, you know, the DOE shut them down because of the majority of the money coming into ITT was from federal student loans. So I'll link this up in the show notes for you to check out. But a lot of people got rich on ITT. In other words, the owners got rich, but the students were not necessarily enriched. So anyway, this is going to bring me to the end of the show tonight. And I definitely appreciate you all tuning in and being part of the Ohana. A little shorter show tonight, I know that. Been a long week, but I thank you all for hanging with me here. If you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Thank you so much for being part of the Ohana. We'll see you back in Honolulu next week. Everyone take care. See ya. Aloha.